today, I want to focus on a couple things with Pentecost. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, I just want to read three kind of foundational scriptures for us today. Mark chapter 16. Familiar portion of scripture, but it's really the essence of what we're all about as Christians, okay? And this is it in Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 15. And this is the words of Jesus. These are last words now, okay? So how many of you know last words are important? We place high value on them a lot of times. So these are some of the last words that Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And he said this. He said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel." I'm reading from the ESV. "To the whole creation." Verse 16. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Okay? So these are signs that accompany those who believe. All right? Turn over to Luke chapter 24. Verse 46 through 49. Again, last words that we're hearing from Jesus here, and it says in verse 46, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Verse 48, it says, "You are witnesses." He's speaking to them. He's saying, "You are my witnesses of these things." In verse 49, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city," okay? "Stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." Everybody say power. Power. Okay. And then turn over to Acts chapter 1. Verses 4 through 8. Again, Luke is recounting the words of Jesus here at the beginning of the book of Acts. He's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he says in verse 4. It says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.'" Now he's referencing that last scripture that we just read in Luke. He said, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So let's pray. Father, we desire to walk, God, in the fullness of what you have for us, Lord. We're not just satisfied, God, with an encounter of years ago. Lord, we know and believe that you have an encounter for us each and every day of our lives, Lord. And you have a world, God, that is desperate and needing to be reached with the gospel. And God, it's your desire, God, to use us as instruments, God, in your hands to bring truth and to reveal the kingdom of God to the souls of men all over the world, Lord God. So we're asking you, God, that you would add to the reading of your word today, God, that you would speak these truths to us, God. And I'm praying, Jesus, that these would not be my words, but they would be your words. My words need to fall to the wayside, God, but your words, God, may they be lasting and life-giving. In Jesus' name, and we all said together, amen. Okay, so in these three verses that we looked at, these three sections of Scripture, we see several things that are here. We see the mission, okay? We see go into all the world, preach the gospel. We need to be about mission. The mission of God is to seek and save that which is lost, okay? Lost people don't know Jesus. Lost people who are uncovered with the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ that paid the price for their sins, they are going to step into eternity uncovered. If you step into eternity uncovered without Jesus, you are standing condemned because you've not believed in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God. You see, so the gospel is to be preached to all nations, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. We're called to go forth and make disciples. Would you agree with that? Amen. Okay. We see our purpose. Our purpose is to get in line and find our specific place where we can go. Some people could be like Nancy, for instance. Nancy is going on the mission field. She's actually going to Papua New Guinea. Now, not everybody in here feels compelling to go to Papua New Guinea, but God spoke to her specific purpose in the overall mission, you see? So we see that in these scriptures as well. But then we also see something that's very powerful, because we know that God has given us mission and he's given us purpose, but he said, I want you to be fully equipped to carry out this mission and purpose for your life. His desire has always been to fully equip us for the journey that he has set before us. And the other thing that we have to realize here is that we have and we do carry a level of responsibility to serve and to be fully equipped. Now, I understand that obviously you have to have the Word of God. Okay, we have the precious gift of his word, okay? And we have a responsibility to pick this up and not just let it collect dust in our homes or wherever we put it. We have a responsibility to seek God in prayer. We have a responsibility to understand that God also has gifts for us. And the Bible tells us to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. See, the last time I checked, he's still building the church. A lot of times people look back and they say, well, the gifts were poured out and the Holy Spirit was poured out for the start of the church. Friends, the building of the church, the start of the church, whatever you want to call it. It wasn't like John was on the island of Patmos one day, and he's the last one. Get in line. If you want healed, you got to get it from him. That's it. That's not the heart of God. He has given the gift for each and every person to experience in our lives. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And the last time, again, I checked, he's still building the church. People are still getting saved. So today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a day throughout the church world that there's a universal, you know, kind of a thankfulness. It's supposed to be a celebration of thankfulness. For us in the Assemblies of God, we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was prophesied by the prophet Joel and the fulfillment of that promise as we just have seen in the book of Acts, okay? Specifically, one of our cardinal doctrines in the Assemblies of God, we recognize the baptism in the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit promised to every believer, say every believer subsequent to our salvation through Jesus Christ. The baptism in the Holy Spirit has been a beautiful, empowering event in millions and millions and millions of believers' lives throughout the world in all of history. As they are filled and immersed in the Holy Spirit, beautiful tongues, unlearned languages emerge as we cooperate with heaven and we literally pray heaven's words. It's electric. It's a beautiful thing. And what do we get hung up on? Oh, we get hung up on tongues. Don't get hung up on tongues. It goes so much deeper than just tongues. We still have to walk the walk. Amen? But don't just throw it aside. This is a gift that God wants each and every person to have. As they are filled and immersed with the Holy Spirit, this beautiful gift emerges. However, as with any beautiful gift that God gives, it gets scrutinized, it gets polluted, it gets devalued. And in many Christian circles, and even in our Assemblies of God churches, The precious baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues has been something that has become devalued by Christians all over. And it sickens my heart. It's been one of the most precious things that I've had. It's been a lifeline for me. And those of you who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, those of you who speak with an unlearned language, you know what that does for you inside. And you know how important it is. And you know that it is a lifeline for you. And it's something that we all need in our lives. See, the problem, friends, is not with God. The problem is not the gift. The problem is not the manifestation of the gift. It's not a problem with the tongues. The problem is with people. The problem is that you and I are flawed, aren't we? And when we don't experience, you know, just bang, zoom right away, whatever it is, we never want to look at the real issue. And more often than not, friends, it's the person that we look at in the mirror every day. And sometimes it's a pride issue. Sometimes it's just an issue of unforgiveness. It's an issue that I just can't let go of things from the past or whatever. But I'm going to tell you, it is a gift that God has for you. Can you say amen for that? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we'll see that regardless of the problems that have been created by overzealous individuals or mischaracterizations of the gift, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is one of the most needed events in a believer's life after salvation. Jesus said that we needed it. We just read that, didn't we? He said that we needed it. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit on the banks of the Jordan at his baptism. Jesus walked the earth, anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit. If he needed it, we needed it, friends. I want to be fully equipped. I don't know about you, but if he's got it for me, I want it. Amen? Amen. Gifts come from God. Not the hands of ministry, not the hands of men, not the hands of women. Gifts come from God. The true spiritual gifts come from Him. And we cannot allow bad experiences to keep us from the genuine. If there's ever a time that we need the genuine, it's now. We need the genuine prophetic move of God. We need the genuine deliverances. We need genuine healings and miracles. We need the genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire. Each and every time we come together, we should see these things desired, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. But what do we do so often with the Holy Spirit? Come on. Why don't you come on over here? We got our schedule. All right. Okay. There you go. Have fun in the nursery. We take him aside, and we don't let him have his church because we have our way of doing things, don't we? And he's so desiring to want to just lavish his gifts on his bride. You know, there's one thing I want to just say about what we heard last week. The Lord just dropped this in my mind. In the parable of the lost coin. She compared that lost coin to our intimacy with the Lord. In the Jewish tradition, those coins were given to the bride and they were an adornment for her. So it was a very precious thing. And when she lost that coin, when the bride lost that coin, when we lost that intimacy, she did everything she could. She swept the house clean. She went after it. She did everything she could to find that lost coin. And I want to ask some of you today, how's your intimacy with the Lord? Is it like that lost coin? Did you once have a loving, vibrant relationship with God and stuff has just gotten in the way? Life has happened to you and now all of a sudden you can't even receive anything from the Lord? Because I'm going to tell you, you can be in a church service and you can have the Holy Spirit moving and the Holy Spirit can be really touching people and they could just be, you know, overcome by the presence of God and God's doing surgery on their hearts and then right next to them, somebody could be just sitting there with a fence on their lives and not receive a thing. They both walk away from the service. One says, I didn't get anything out of that service and starts complaining about the pastor and the color of the carpet and how we do chairs and everything else. And then the other person says, oh, Jesus, thank you. It was such a blessing to be in the house of the Lord today. You touched my life, Father. All because not of what was happening with the individual up front, but because of what was happening with the individual on the receiving end. What we need to have happen, friends, is to go from this to this. Often, if you've ever been in situations, and some of you probably have been in spiritually charged atmospheres, and sometimes it can get a little wild, all right? I'm not saying that's okay, but that's what leadership's for. If your leaders are doing their job, they're not going to let things get out of bounds. But sometimes what happens is we have a bad experience and then we overreact to it. Okay? And what do? We take the pendulum from here and we swing the pendulum all the way over here. We need to bring the pendulum back to where we have balance. And friends, let's be serious, man. We need as much of God as we can get. Last time I checked, we don't really look like the Corinthian church where we had 15 people trying to give messages in tongues all at the same time. I don't see that happening, do you? I think it would be nice if we would just be obedient and allow the gifts to flow in us and through us in our services. And there's going to be order, but it's going to be God's order. And sometimes His order, it's a little more comfortable to Him than it is to us. But what if we got our flesh out of the way? Maybe we would be more comfortable, you see. Just a thought. What we need is this, though. Because there is the genuine. But we need men and women and children of integrity and character and humility that won't contradict the Pentecostal experience by the way they live their lives outside the four walls of the church. Did you hear what I said there? Because one of the things that happens is we can come in here and we can jump up and down and we can get happy. Woo-hoo! Power in the blood. Power in the blood. Oh, blessed be the name. Blessed. Woo-hoo! And then we go outside and we're on the four walls and we're at work. And can you believe that? No, I ain't going to do that. And we're in one another's faces. And we're talking bad about our bosses. And we're backstabbing people. And we're talking nasty about the church. Why do you think people don't want anything to do with it? It's because the way we live outside the four walls of the church contradict what we say is happening on the inside of us. You can't check it out at the door. You don't check Jesus out. He's inside of you. You take Him with you wherever you go. Everywhere. We need you, Holy Spirit. But we need to be men and women surrendered, yielded to the Lord. Can we at least try? Can we at least make an effort? See, this beautiful gift that we say that we want and possess in our lives carries responsibility. So when you look at Pentecost, you've got to look at the roots of it. Pentecost, okay, I'm going to just go into some just practical things here. But it's so beautiful when you really see this. Pentecost is also referred to as the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, or the latter First Fruits. The Hebrew word, and again, you're going to have to help me with this one, is Shavuot. I don't know if it's S-H-A-V-U-O-T. Shavuot, Shavuot, Shavuot. Shavuot. Okay. The Greek word is Pentecost, but it's the Feast of Shavuot, okay? And you can go back and reference this. I'm not going to read it right now, but it's in Leviticus 23, 15 through 16. And what it was is the feast was celebrated 50 days or 7 weeks after that Sabbath. So there were 7 Sabbaths that followed the Passover. And it was 50 days. It's 50 days after Easter, okay? So the festival expressing thankfulness for the blessing of the wheat harvest. It was tied, this is where it gets good. It was tied to the giving of the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses, or the Torah, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Jewish people believe that this is when God gave those first 5 books to the people through Moses. Now, think about this. This is wonderful. Here they are in bondage, okay? Israel's in bondage under Pharaoh, okay? Let my people go. You probably have seen, remember the old Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston and all that? Some of us are dating ourselves, all that stuff. The bottom line is, let my people go. They were set free, they were brought out, and now they were encamped around this place called Mount Sinai, okay? So here they are. As Moses ascended Mount Sinai, he returned then with precious tablets and words of the Lord. He brought a gift to equip the people for their life's journey. Are you seeing this? This is beautiful. I'm excited about this. Because sometimes we look at the Old Testament and we're just like, well, we don't truly understand what was happening. But God was trying to show us something even back then. So Moses ascends the mountain of the Lord, okay? He goes up there, he receives the gift from God for the people, and he goes back down and he gives it to them to equip them for their lives. I think that's awesome. So the celebrations of the Shavuot would include all-night study of the Torah, and we're all into that, right? Okay, all-night study, the children would memorize scripture, there would be reward with treats and all kinds of stuff that way. The book of Ruth was also read during this festival, and this was also one of three pilgrimages, the feast, when all the Jewish men were required to appear before the Lord in Jerusalem. And I think we need to institute that today. What do you think? All the men have to show up, right? Oh, come on. I thought I'd get a few amens on that. During the feast, there would customarily be dairy foods. Cheesecakes, cheese blintzes. Now, I didn't know what a cheese blintz was, but I looked it up. Man, they look good. It's like this crepe-like thing, and it's filled with a cream cheese. Now, on the ones that I was looking at, they had these berries on top of it, and it was just like, you could just be like, oh, this is so good. You know, and anyway, if anybody wants to make them and bring them in, I'll sample them for you and let you know how they are. But it's a great thing. And the reason that they did that is because they compared the gift of God's word with milk and honey. So that's why it was focused on those dairy things. But to the Jewish people, this word that they received was a precious gift from God following their deliverance out of Egypt. You seeing this? You see where this is going? Acts 1, Jesus is speaking with the disciples and he's giving them some final words. We just read this. His last words are important. We read this. Remember what I told you. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They listened and they said to themselves, if he said it, then it must be true. And if he says that I need it, then I must need it. So they went to Jerusalem and they tarried. They prayed, they praised and worshiped, and they expected God to move. They celebrated Pentecost. Amen? And I think that's just a wonderful thing. But let's take a look at this. This is powerful, powerful. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound of the multitude came together, there they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, aren't these cats Galileans? Oh my God, it doesn't say cats in there. But it says, aren't they Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Whoo! Could you imagine this scene? Here they are in the upper room, the colonnade or whatever you want to call that place, and they're all together praising, worshiping God. And all of a sudden, cloven tongues of fire come and rested upon them. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord was coming forth, and they were speaking in other tongues, and many of them heard in their own languages. There was heavenly language spoken. There were languages that others understood. But God poured out His Spirit on these people. And what did they accuse Him of? Being drunk. I guess you can get a little goofy. I don't know. I'm not going to say we're going to have barrel rolls in here or anything like that, or it'd be a little tough to get up there, swinging from the chandeliers. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about something beautiful that took place on the day of Pentecost. Celebration, celebration. They were all together. They were in unity. They were praising God. They were thanking God for the gift, the harvest, and the resurrected life. And as they were full of joy, everybody say joy. As they were full of joy, God fulfilled what He said He would do. And He poured out His Spirit on all flesh, prophesied by the prophet Joel, chapter 2. They spoke with unlearned languages, languages of others present and heaven's language. There was great power present to usher people into the kingdom of God. And what ended up happening was Peter stood up, full of the Holy Spirit, led of the Holy Spirit, inspired of God, and he brought a message. He brought a barn burner in there. And he said, these people aren't drunk as you suppose, but this is the great outpouring that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. God poured out His Spirit on all flesh. And it didn't sound like anything any of them had ever heard before. And it probably was kind of like, oh, well, yeah, they got to be just drunk. No, they're not drunk. This was the precious outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And after Peter stood up and he preached and he gave message and encouraged and inspired and he brought the people to repentance, there was power to usher 3,000 souls into the kingdom of heaven all at one time. Have we seen that kind of revival? I don't know, but I do know this. In certain parts of the world, there's people like Reinhard Bonnke and Heidi Baker and different ones that are believing for the supernatural power of God to fall each and every time that they get up. And they expect it. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are coming into the kingdom of God. Oh, come on. I want to show you something. Put up that next slide. This is in 2005 in Mozambique. Now, first thing that goes through our minds in our American thinking, well, that's doctored. That's a doctored photo. You know what? That happened at a 2005 Mozambique, Africa meeting. Tongues of fire were captured on film. I tried to look and see if there was anything that said that this was discredited or anything like that. But here's the reality of it, friends. This was happening when they were just pre-service. Joy bubbling forth. Thankfulness, praise, worship. They were just thankful in their hearts. And here comes the Holy Spirit just showing up just like He said He would. And here's what happens. The cloven tongues of fire are resting upon these people. Now, friends, this is happening all over the world. Why can't it happen here? It can. There was a time in the early years of this fellowship. Next year will be 75 years. There was a time in early years of this very fellowship, Canton Assembly of God, down at one of the other buildings, the fire department got called out. Now you guys are all sitting there, yeah, what? No, it happened. It happened. You remember it. They remember it. It happened. Now I would love for that to happen again. There's times I'm out there... Yeah, come on. There's times I'm out there mowing the lawn and I look back at the church and I just half expect to see flames. And I'm not talking about burning the structure down. I'm talking about the fire of God falling on this place. Amen? Can we believe for that again? Can we believe that we could have a Mozambique experience right here in Canton, Illinois? I think we need it. I think we need it. Amen. All through history, friends. All through history, all through the Old Testament, everything was pointing to Jesus. We see the heart of God revealed in the Old Testament. His desire was to never abandon us and to never leave His people. We see that this was a shadow of things to come. Israel was saved from Pharaoh. They were freed from their bondage. They were saved. And after the miracle of freedom, Moses went to Sinai. He brought back the precious gift that equipped them for their journey. As they received and embraced the words of the Lord, they became servants of God. They became empowered servants of God. And like Moses, Jesus, hallelujah, He ascended to heaven. He went up the mountain of the Lord, if you will, and He comes back with a beautiful gift from heaven to equip you and me for the spiritual journey that He's called us to. Hallelujah. This precious gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit to fully equip you and I and to empower His people. This gift of the Father empowers us to be His witnesses, to fulfill the Great Commission, and to live courageously for Him. The promise is for you. It's for your children, and it's for your children's children, and all who are far off. Everyone who calls on the Lord shall be saved, and the gift of the Father is available to you today. Amen? Amen. Oh, why do we get so hung up on tongues? Come on, friend. That ain't the real issue. The real issue isn't tongues. In John 20, 22, I already quoted this scripture. Jesus was meeting with them after the resurrection. He had not ascended to the Father yet. He breathed on them. They received the Holy Spirit. Just like Israel was brought out of their slavery, they had been brought out of their bondage. They were regenerated and they were saved. And He said, after they were already saved, go and wait for the promise of the Father, because you will be endued with power to be My witnesses. Oh, thank You, Lord. We just read about it in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 10, Peter came across some Gentile believers. Peter was kind of like, what's going on here? I thought it was just for us Jewish folk. But he saw that the Holy Spirit had fell on the Gentile believers. And if you read in that account, what were they doing? They were speaking in other tongues and they were prophesying. And there was all kinds of supernatural activity going on. Acts 19 verse 6, Paul came across some Christians that were at Ephesus. What happened there? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the gift of the Father since you believed? They said, well, gosh, we didn't even know there was such a thing. But if you say we need it, we want it. And what did they do? He laid hands on them. And what happened? They began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. And they witnessed boldly for the Lord. It transforms their lives. In Mark 16, 17, these signs will follow those who believe. They will speak in other tongues. Acts 8, 14 through 19, supernatural encounter. Simon the sorcerer. Ephesians 6, 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasion. Paul says that he wishes that everyone would speak in tongues. They all spoke in tongues. It was normal Christianity. You like that? It was normal Christianity. It wasn't some weird, wacko experience. This is the way that God intended it. He wished that everybody did. There's such benefit to it. 1 Corinthians 14, 4, Paul was addressing corporate worship, okay? But one of the things that he says there is that one who speaks in tongues builds himself up. God didn't just say, Fred, I want you to have this gift, but your wife, Melissa, no, she doesn't get to have it. You can build yourself up in the Spirit, but not you, Melissa. I mean, that's ridiculous. God has this for everybody. And I will say, we're not going to talk about it right now, but the gift of tongues and interpretation in a corporate worship service flows out of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They're two very different things. But He wished that everybody did. It allows me to pray beyond my limitations of my understanding. It's an open door to the freedom to pray beyond myself. The Spirit is not limited, but I am. If you guys would come. Romans 8:26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." You know, friends, it pains my heart that we treat something that Jesus took great care to articulate as a need for you and I. He wanted to fully equip us for the journey. It was His desire to equip you and to me. And because we get hung up on the evidence of speaking in tongues, we say, well, it must be something else. Friend, that's the pattern of Scripture. All of the New Testament authors, they all spoke in tongues. Every one of them. It wasn't a big deal to them. We make it a big deal because, you know, I sometimes have asked the Lord, why tongues, God? I remember when it happened for me. In fact, it happened for my wife first. And I was jealous. I was like, no, you didn't. You didn't get that, you know. Because, my gosh, I had to be the one to get it first. No, she did. She just had a gentle spirit. She wasn't as prideful as I was. And she received that. And I tried to squelch it, the great Christian that I was. But I remember just praying, God, show me the truth of this. I said, Jesus, man, I need this. And I know you want me to have it. I just want to get myself out of the way. It didn't happen in a church service. I was riding home from Sterling. I was coming back, and I was selling insurance at the time. And I remember it was in this little red Escort. Just going down 88. And I had some worship music on the radio. And I just started worshiping. I was thinking about this. I was just like, Jesus, I just want more of you. And I just kept saying, I want more of you. All of a sudden, I was just singing. I was just praising God. I don't remember the song. What I remember was that all of a sudden, I realized that as I was singing spiritual songs in a heavenly language. I was so caught up in the moment, I didn't even realize what had happened. And it just began to flow. And like many, I went home that night and I kind of talked myself out of it. I said, oh, that was just me. Well, yeah, it was me. But it was me speaking as the Spirit gave me the utterance. And then I do remember being at an altar. And there was three of us. Three of us young guys. We were all up there, and I just remember, okay, Lord, this was from you, and it just was like a gusher. I'm going to tell you, friends, Jesus said we needed it. You need it. There are such great benefits to praying in your heavenly language. God wants to equip you with that. He wants to fill you afresh. And I believe today He wants to fill some of you afresh. Some of you already have it, and you haven't used it in years. Did you know that on our Wednesday nights, we've had three individuals who kind of let that thing lay dormant for a while? We really wasn't doing much of anything. And God rebaptized them, and He gave them a different prayer language. That's happened right here on our Wednesday nights. There's a plug for Wednesdays. Come on out. That's the God we serve, friends. It's not weirdness. It's beautiful. It's a gift from God for you. And don't be discouraged if it doesn't just happen like that. Keep contending for it. He wants you to have it.